Sophie Taylor Stewart's with us on this podcast, the Circularity Podcast, and we've got an event coming up that we're working on together, aren't we?
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't even express how excited I am for it to nearly be finally the time. It feels like this has been happening for such a long time, and it's so great that we're finally going to be able to put it on.
It hasn't been that long though, because we were talking about, I think it was it just before Christmas or just after Christmas, where we
Christmas drinks were out in Costa. I remember that much. Yeah. Maybe early December time. Yeah. We've been talking about it, but it feels like a long time.
Yeah. It's just when you're coming up with something, isn't it? And then you're excited and you want to do it. And definitely. So we're working on Circularity Play.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of the mastermind behind it.
Oh my God.
Which I just think is wicked. So it was just a podcast to basically tell people what it's about and how it'll work and what the plan is. There is a plan now. I think when we were just excited and doing loads of ideas to begin with, but we've actually got like a dead good plan now. So,
hopefully, it sounds like it in my mind, but yeah, hopefully, it's going to be wicked.
Right. So, in a nutshell, in your words, what is the event? What is it about? What will it entail?
So, Circularity Play is basically just going to be a whole mixed bag of opportunities for people to just take a break from the real world for an evening and lose themselves in any form of play that they wish to participate in. So what we want to endeavour to create is a space where people can really express their need to either be somebody else for the night or to just not be their current selves. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to play around with that, if you excuse the pun of play.
So there's kind of, I suppose, the kind of, when you say we're going to play games, the first thing that people think about is board games.
Yeah.
And they think of, like, I don't know, chess or Scrabble or Monopoly or games that are inherently, like, competitive.
Yeah.
Where you're playing against each other and there's a winner and there's a loser and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have that. That'll be there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
For people to, if that's what they're confident and, you know, familiar with playing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, I went off and explored cooperative games. So I went to Spirit Games in Burton and was speaking to the guy there.
Fantastic place to go.
Yeah, I want to play some games. You know, what would you recommend?
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of asked me what sort of thing I was looking for. Was it I just said, like, we've got to try and get people to collaborate a bit more. Either to take turns or to work together to win a game.
Yes.
So he immediately just said, right, Forbidden Island. And then Pandemic. And then
Pandemic I love and... Well, I don't hate it. I just... it's a really hard game to play, but it's really rewarding and it's really, really fun. And I think that the reason...
And quite appropriate right now.
There is an online version of Pandemic, which isn't as, in my opinion, it's not as great as the board game, but I know that there has been a spike in usage of that recently. So, yeah. It's a great board game. It's a classic. It's been around for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I mean, I tried the app of Pandemic and felt it really hard. Like, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same experience of playing. It was good. It was really good.
Yeah,
but it's just, I think that you mentioned this earlier today when we were messaging. It's, you know, you're still playing on your own.
That is exactly the point. The thing for me is that a lot of the time when people consider spending time together, there's this whole thing that, especially around Christmas time, you know, where families get together and friends get together and they haven't seen each other in a while, there tends to be this trend of where people go, oh, well, let's play a board game, or let's get some cards out, or let's do something fun with each other.
Mm.
And I feel like that trend dies off when it's not some form of holiday or celebration. So why can't we just have that a lot of the time?
That's really interesting. That's a really interesting point. Because it's like when you're on a break from work or you go away on holiday, all of a sudden you feel like the urge to play. So why do you have to have a break or a holiday to do that? Why can't you just make that part of your life?
Exactly.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with vegging out in front of Netflix or, playing something online yourself. But every once in a while, it's really, really good to just mix it up. Me and my family do it sometimes. We'll all have a dinner together because we don't all live in the same place anymore. So, you know, we spend a little bit less time together. But when we do, it's almost like we are valuing that time a little bit more. And through that value, we play together.
Yeah.
And it just solidifies that bond with us. We've got private jokes that span back from Monopoly games when I was about 6 years old that we still quote today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's become part of our identity as a family group. And that's interesting for one, but I think it's incredible. I think it's a really great way to be sociable, not only with people we know, but with people that we don't necessarily know.
And that's a biggie, isn't it? Mm. You know, how often do you go and play with someone you don't know?
Exactly.
You know, without it being, I mean, even saying that sounds a bit creepy.
I'm going to go and play with a stranger now. But we have it a lot of the time. I just don't think we notice it. Say, for example, I don't know, you have a friend that wants to introduce a new partner in. Some people will like do an escape room or do like a games night
or a pub quiz
or something like that. And that's just a form of playing because I feel like they will get to know that person a little bit better rather than just nothing wrong with just a sit down conversation. But I feel like during those times of play, we get to see different sides of people.
Yeah.
There are people that might seem really reserved when you first meet them, but put them in a game situation and all of a sudden they become really tactful and confident and even like, you know, really competitive and you know, a bit aggressive in that way. And I just think that's, it's really interesting to see what parts of a person come out. You get to know them a little bit better.
Yeah. So we're gonna have probably like that Forbidden Island and Pandemic and games like that, that people can kind of explore the rules themselves and then figure it out as maybe if they're coming as a team or they're coming as a group or whatever.
That is it.
But I think the, you know, what we need to spend really a lot of time talking about in this podcast is, you know, the big main reason is the kind of role playing thing.
Oh.
And I think that's, you know, from what you're just talking about, that jumps off nicely into this world and you're already getting excited.
Yeah. Visibly not being able to control myself. So the role playing aspect of this evening is something that is really, really near and dear to me personally. Because role playing games have changed not just my life but also a lot of other people that I know, and there is this mystery surrounding the entire role-playing world that seems perhaps a bit exclusive. And I want to bring everybody in. Want to just cradle everyone, take them all under my wing like some kind of massive mother hen and just be like, it's okay children, we can play tabletop role-playing games together. And this event will give people an opportunity to experience that with people that are competent game masters that will be running them, that are both experienced in first-time players. And we've also created a tabletop role-playing system that is really accessible and that people can just, you know, sit down for 5 minutes, get a grasp of the rules, and then just play. And that is the most important thing, that we don't get so caught up on the necessary rules and regulations of it, just to let loose.
And people can if they want to later, but that's not necessarily the purpose of the night, is it? I mean, if they wanted to go off later and really explore something, you know, branded like RuneQuest or Dungeons and Dragons or Call of Cthulhu or any of those kind of, you know, role-playing titles that exist, you know, they can go and delve into that. But what we're doing is something slightly different, isn't it? It's kind of, you know, it's kind of your take on it that you've customized and made your own and created, you know, your own system. And
yeah.
I think that's great, you know.
It is very heavily based on these pre-existing systems because, you know, the reason why that things like Dungeons and Dragons is so popular is because the system for that play does work.
Yeah.
But there are some things about it that can seem a little intimidating because it can be very complicated, and I think that I wouldn't want to be intimidated away from something just because the rules seem a little complicated when they're not necessarily necessary.
Yeah.
If I'm making any sense.
No, absolutely. Because what you've effectively done is you've taken the best bits of many different styles of role-playing adventure game and tabletop game and you've basically kind of made something that's really accessible. And I just think that's kind of really cool. And I think that's, you know, you've modded it, you've customized it, you've done your own thing with it. And you know, I just think that's, you know, it shows your talent for one and the kind of stuff you're doing. But also it's, you know, if, I don't know, people have a preconceived idea of these things. And it's like, you think it's, you know, people that are socially inept or awkward, and they get together and then suddenly they find their place. And that's, you know, and then you've got this kind of preconceived idea of who a D&D player is or anything like, yeah, stereotype,
definitely.
You know, that's not me, I'm not a geek.
Exactly, you know? And that puts up that wall then, that you're stopping yourself when you think there is only a certain type of person that will enjoy this sort of game or this sort of experience, then you're really limiting your experience of having fun. And I have ran so many first time games for so many different types of people, and you know, many different people that belong in you know, very stereotypical subcultures. There are some people that have really surprised me, that have really thrown themselves into the world after discovering that really it's just a bunch of people being guided through a storyline, being able to choose what they want to do with that storyline as a team, and they're just all having a good laugh together. That's all it is. You're just creating your own adventure and having a laugh with some people along the way. It doesn't necessarily, if you don't want it to be, it doesn't have to be this really, you know, stereotypical nerdy situation. I mean,
it can be. That's what you want to do.
And obviously, and I have been part of many, many nerdy situations. But like you said, it's this preconceived idea of a certain type of person, and putting it in that box. And
I think people make it exclusive to not them.
Yes.
If that makes sense, they make it, oh, that's not my thing. I don't do things like that. I'm in this box, and they're in that box. And actually, that's what we're trying to break down, isn't it? Really, with this, it's like, no, just come and enjoy having a game, come and enjoy playing.
I think it's like watching perhaps a certain type of person eating a slice of cake and going, well, I'm not that type of person, so I don't want to eat that cake even though it looks nice, because that cake must only be eaten by people of a certain, you know, subculture or hair color or I don't know. And that is how I now view it, being in the world of role-playing games for so long and experiencing it in so many different ways, it really has shocked me that this has not exploded into mainstream everything already.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you say that, but I mean, we've got to give a nod to Stranger Things, haven't we, at this point? Because obviously it features right at the early part of that first episode on Series 1, and, you know,
the Demogorgon,
an actual
Dungeons and Dragons monster as well. When he popped that miniature on the table, I was like, "Oh Lord, I'm going to like this series." I'm hooked.
And it's and you know, it's great, and you can, you know, my daughter goes somewhere and plays. She disappears for 5 hours on Monday, and she's off with her mates playing it, and she's 11, you know, and that's. That's brilliant that, you know, young kids are really embracing this and getting into it and exploring these worlds and being imaginative and being playful and being creative. And then as adults, we forget how to do that.
I could not agree more with you. There are some situations, I feel like we get so stuck in the routine of life where everything is practically the same from one day to another. We don't ever let our minds wander or daydream or create anymore, because it's impractical to the adult things that we have to do. And, you know, to a certain extent, I know that, you know, routine and order in our lives is important, but taking the time to just let your hair down, let your mind be free of all of that for just an evening, and that is what the Circularity Play event is all about. Just leave everything on the other side of the door and just enjoy yourself. Duck for a bit. that's all we want.
You just said duck, right? Yeah. And I'm sorry, I'm going right off on a tangent here. But I didn't realise what that actually meant, because everyone says, "Hey, up, duck," round here. Like, "Hey, up, duck, you're right, duck, hey, duck.
Hey, up, me duck.
Hey, up, me duck." I thought it was like referring to people as like a quacking bird. And it's not. It's a play on the word duke.
I did not know
that. No, I didn't until the other day.
That is crazy. Yeah. Are you being serious?
No, honestly, totally serious, yeah. Yeah, duck is like a play on the word duke. hey, I'm your doctor. I'm, you know, Duke, like a respectful term.
Oh. Yeah. So it's a respectful term of endearment.
It is.
Oh, okay. It is. All right. Man, there's something new every day.
We tried circularity play, didn't we? We trialled it out, and there were a couple of us, well, a few of us got together, and we gave your system a go, and I got hooked on dice, I'll be honest. I've got.
You now have a problem.
I've got a real problem with dice. I keep.
I told you. I was like, I'm not responsible for any addictions that happen after this session. But I saw that, you know, you had this little twinkle in your eye from the beginning. As soon as you saw all the different shapes that were being used, you were like, I need to get me some of those. Like, yeah. I saw it.
Yeah. You spot it a mile off. Mm-hmm. And so we played, you created this scenario, which was an A scenario, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I particularly like the monkeys.
Giant squid.
Giant squid.
Why can't there be a giant squid? I'll put a giant squid in there in a minute. If you don't be quiet. So this is the thing. We're laughing about this.
Yeah, we've got an in-joke.
This
we've
is a genuine joke for us. Yeah. And
everyone listening's going, what?
Everyone's like, what the hell is this about?
Yeah, and we've
Ninja
created.
Monkeys and giant squid.
Yeah.
But that for us, in our experience, is hilarious. And that is one of the beautiful byproducts.
And even the circularity logo.
I know,
The symbols on the dice are relevant to that very first trial game that we played. And I'm not explaining it, because that's our secret, and that was our game.
That's our thing, yeah.
But it's secret. But we said that, you know, people that come in a part of the games feel part of something bigger than themselves. They feel part of a journey, and the world you created was so vivid in my mind. You know, I was in that world while we were playing. I wanted everyone to experience that.
Oh, thank you very much.
You know, and I think that's why we've got to push this event, and we've got to get people doing this role-playing stuff, because just the power of, like, you know, when you read a book and it's a great book and you are totally immersed in that world, that's what playing the game feels like. However, you've got an active role in it. You're not just an observer observing what's going on or the story. You're actually, you know, playing a part within the narrative. You are part of the Fellowship of the Ring. You know what I mean? Kind of out there doing
definitely.
Stuff.
Definitely. I mean, as that's one of the most beautiful things, being a game master or a GM or a DM, there's lots of other names for it, but you get to put your characters, put your people in this world, and that is all I am. I just narrate the actions that you guys decide to do, and that's what's going to happen in this event. So, just a quick insight into planning a campaign. You obviously create a world, and you have certain challenges or enemies or whatever that people have to overcome, but you can never guarantee how they're going to do that. And just a very, very quick anecdote that there was this one very, very simple task I gave a bunch of players to do. They were, you know, maybe their second or third session, and there was a big chasm that they had to cross, like a massive gorge, and there were like trees on the other side. And in your mind as a game planner, you think, okay, so maybe they'll try and throw a rope over, or maybe they'll try and do this, and you try and, you know, think of different outcomes. And one of the players turns to me and goes, didn't we just come from a town? And I said, yeah, you did. I'd like to go back to the town, please. I was like, what are they doing? But I let it happen. Like, you got it. You just got to let it roll. And they went to a carpenter shop. They used their money to buy a very long ladder, and then they just carried it back to where the chasm was, placed it across, and everybody crawled across really safe. And it was supposed to be this really challenging part of the campaign that was supposed to take them a little while to figure out, and they did it in 10 minutes. And then you have certain challenges that you think is going to take 10 minutes, but people overcomplicate it or they overthink it. And that's what's so interesting, is that we can give the framework, we can put you on the map, but you decide where to go. Mm-hmm. And it's this whole collaboration between storyteller and character that creates this really unique experience that you can't have anywhere else. I mean, you know, you can play these massive open world RPGs, things like Skyrim and The Witcher and Red Dead Redemption and all that sort of thing, where you have so many choices, but your choices are still limited to the game's parameters of, you know, the how physically big that map can be programmed into the game. They can't give you unlimited space. But yeah. in this game, in any tabletop RPG, the only limit is how far you want your imagination to go. I know campaigns that have spanned for 10 years because wow. people just keep going.
Yeah.
And it's and I think that that is what is going to be this unique experience for people. You're not going to be limited by ABCD anymore. You've got...
You still won't let me have a giant squid, though.
That bloody giant squid. I swear to God, one day when I'm going to be DMing a campaign, you're not even going to be near any water. You're going to be in the middle of the desert. What's that rumbling sound? It's a giant squid. It's finally going to happen. When you least expect it. But no, yeah, that's... To yeah. be honest with you, but I think until and I say this to everybody, until you play the game, you don't quite get the hype.
I can totally vouch for that. Yeah, what you're saying, because before the guys, oh, it'd be fun, it'd be nice and interesting, and then we played the game that night, and I was like, that's just changed my life.
Genuinely,
yeah, like yeah. no, you know, and I do exaggerate a lot. People who
change me as a person
will vouch for that, but I can honestly say that I left that game a completely different mindset than what the one that I went in on. Just, you know, being sat around the table, connecting with everyone, having a good time, being part of that world, playing together, and then realizing the potential that playing has, you know, in terms
having
of
fun.
Yeah,
having a laugh.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like you have a certain amount of respect for the person that has created the game, so like, you know, you play the game with only a certain level of seriousness enough to just really appreciate that somebody's created something for you.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I can't even keep track of the amount of times that we all just like balled up laughing. You know, you say some silly suggestions to get it off your chest. Like, what if we did this really stupid plan? And a lot of the time people go, oh my God, shall we? Shall we try? Or you're going to have to roll really high for that. And like, it becomes just this moment of, you know, and I'm not expecting anybody to be sat in cosplay. I mean, if you wanna, then yeah, I highly encourage it. But you don't have to do anything. You just have to bring yourself and just the willingness to try. And yeah. I think that everybody's capable of that.
Yeah, I love the one that I'm just having a memory now. I'd forgotten all about this, but it was the banter that me and Rob had as the elf and the dwarf.
Yes,
you know, and we really brought that kind of divide and that kind of rivalry to life in the game, and even like. You know, in the real world, we're still digging each other. We kind of do that anyway for fun, but you know, it was just doing it in that context and as part of the game. It was just great. It was really, really good.
I think as well, it's a real opportunity for some people if they really want to explore being somebody else. I mean, a lot of the time, people pick characters for their first go. They often create / pick characters that are quite close to their own personality because it's something that's familiar. But I have played such an array of different characters in my lifetime. I've played, like, you know, complete and utter opposites of what I am. And it's so much fun to just be like, well, Sophie would probably do it this way, but this character is going to do the complete opposite because that's what their personality is like. And, you know, you're given a hint to perhaps a way to play your character personality-wise within this event. We have created pre-made characters and they will have something called a personality quirk. So I think with yours you had Hasty, didn't you?
Nothing like me in real life. Never rush anything. No. Always follow things through, get it concise right to the end.
Yeah.
Never rush into anything.
So like that must have been really interesting playing it. Playing a polar opposite. But it was, you kept saying to like when Rob was disagreeing with you, like, oh no, I don't think we should do that. And you were like, but I'm Hasty. It says it here. I'm Hasty. And you could have played that, interpreted that any way you wish. It's just a little guideline to perhaps steer you towards a certain characterization that you want to interpret. But 5 different people could play that exact same character sheet.
Yeah.
They'll all play it differently.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about this system that we've made is that it's going to be so versatile and we will never have the same game twice. Mm. And that really excites me.
Yeah,
for sure.
So we did a bit of noise making about this event kind of before Christmas, just online in our local area. But the idea is that it's going to be a monthly thing starting the 12th of February.
Yes.
So this, the 12th of February is the first event that we're going to run this. It's totally free.
Yeah.
If people want to make donations, they can, you know. I mean, you know, we obviously run an array of events and some of them run at a loss and every little helps and all that sort of stuff. So if people do want to chuck in the pot, we'll take it with. But everyone that's involved in Circularity right now is volunteering, you know. It's everyone coming together and trying stuff out and
that's the all whole that point. Sort of stuff. And I think that you can probably agree with me on this, is that sometimes there are other places that you can probably go and do this sort of thing, but sometimes people are limited financially as to whether they can afford the ticket prices to get in. This is just something that we wanted to provide people with, a space that had absolutely no obligation to pay any money, like upfront, to just come in and have a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, you know, if anybody wants to donate, it's an awesome cause and anything will be appreciated, but it's not a necessity.
No. And if people want to not donate money but want to donate time, you know, we're looking for volunteers for all of our different projects.
Absolutely.
And the different parts of the Circularity project now, that's one of the big pushes this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are inspired and want to be a part of it on a deeper level, then you know, coming up between now and sort of April, we're really going to be looking for volunteers to come and be part of a lot of different things that are coming up. So you know, on the night, come down to the National Brewery Centre, as always. With a lot of our events, they take place there. It's a great room because it's got like chandeliers and that, so it's going to look amazing.
Also the big tables, so we can fit all of the dice on there. All of the dice.
But if you come down on that, then you know, that's what we're going to experience on the night. It'll be from 7 p.m. And as we say, it's free entry. If anyone wants to chip in, they can. Or if they want to talk to us about donating their time and energy for being part of what we're trying to create, then come and do that as well. Or if they've got an idea, even, you know, anything. And we'll probably run till, I mean, we sort of said, you know, maybe about 10, with it being a school night. But
yeah.
I suppose if things do drag on a bit longer, we've probably got the room till a little bit later.
We'll see how it goes. I mean, I've instructed my beautiful game masters to try and keep it to a 2-hour window, really, for the tabletop role playing, because there is going to be like a short little thing before we begin that specifically. But you know, if people are in the middle of battling a giant squid, we don't want to cut them off halfway. So we'll see how it goes. But it should be an absolutely awesome night. I really, really can't wait to just share this experience with other people and see the change in people, like it had a little change in you.
Yeah, definitely.
And
yeah.
It honestly fills me with so much joy when people just discover this whole world that they haven't ever experienced. And I just want to give that to them. Yeah.
So to sum up, right, bullet points, just so that we can kind of give an overview of everything. So Circularity Play is going to happen on the 12th of February, 2020, and then monthly from there. Ordinarily that kind of like middle Wednesday in the month, at the National Brewery Centre in the Worthington Suite in Burton-on-Trent. It's free entry, and there are three sets of activities to choose from. There is the kind of standard card games, board games, a few bits and bobs that people can play if they want a game of chess or drafts or whatever. We'll have some facilities to do that. There's also going to be things like Pandemic or Forbidden Island, which are more sort of team collaborative based board games that people can work out for themselves with people that they come with. But then, you know, the sort of the golden ticket and the main reason why we're doing this event is obviously the role playing tabletop games, for people to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the night in a nutshell. Now, I'm very conscious of the fact that actually there's probably as many people listen to this podcast outside of Burton-on-Trent in the UK that listen to it in Burton-on-Trent and in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to throw the gauntlet down and say, you know, if you are listening to this podcast and you want to try this where you are, then just get in touch. You know, you can email us at info@circularity.org, or if you search any of the social media platforms, on particularly Instagram, Twitter, we're at circularity.org. And then on Facebook, there's the Circularity Association Facebook page. And there's also a Circularity Play Facebook page. that is, I didn't tell you about, did I?
I just, wait, what?
Yeah.
I was wondering when that was going to happen. I was waiting for it. No, yeah, that would be really cool.
So get in touch by any of those things. If you're listening to this and you're in Canada, because I know there's a few Canadian listeners, or if you're in, I don't know, Philadelphia, there's people that listen over there, and
wow,
the US.
That's amazing.
And Australia, there's a couple, and, you know, all over the world, there's different people. So if you're hearing this and you want to try out Circularity Play, then give us a shout and we'll tell you how to do it.
Please. Yeah, sure.
Well, thank you, Sophie. Thank you for joining us and being Rob for the night.
And thank you for having me. I've enjoyed playing Rob. I've enjoyed it.
And we'll see you guys at Circularity Play. So if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, you've enjoyed the music, you've listened to it and you like what's going on in the background there, check out the album Circularity by Star From Ivy. That song's called Slumberland and it's the instrumental version of the track from the record. Circularity was the seed of this entire project. So if you've heard of Circularity and wanted to know where it all came from, then definitely check out the album by Star From Ivy called Circularity. For more information about the project, have a look at circularity.org and you can see all of our movements for this year. They are bi-monthly projects, starting with the Wellbeing Wagon. You can also see all of our many events that we've got coming up, and the calendar is on site for all of our events for 2020.